This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Stocker.
I'm Joelle Steiniger.
And I'm Matt Goldman. Today we talked with Maciej Zawadzinski from PeeWeek and PeeWeek Pro. What'd you guys think?
Man, this was interesting. I never heard the business model or how a business model comes about for an open source software project. And this was very much a group of developers building open source software out of passion and then realize that they could turn it into a business. So that was very interesting to hear. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it was really cool to hear about how their sales team formed over time. And it sounds like they have a great process now that they're using to handle inbound leads that come into them. So let's get into it.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Hover makes purchasing and managing your domain simple and easy. This week, I asked George Diab of Working On about the best domain he ever purchased.
Oh, I bought AskSmalls.com, which is the nickname for my wife. I used to, instead of just like going to Google, I would just ask my wife a question and she'd answer it. So I'm like, yeah, we should get you a website, AskSmalls.com.
Yeah, and you might get a
happy Smalls, right. You might get a cranky Smalls, but you got Smalls. That's guaranteed.
Go to hover.com and use the code SatisfiedCustomers to get 10% off your domain purchase today.
Horse-dayer.
You know what a gator is?
Horse-dayer.
It's like an alligator.
Do it again?
Yes.
No, oh, then.
HostGator makes web hosting easy and affordable. With packages starting at just $3.96 a month, it's the easiest way to get your next project online. Go to HostGator/promo/rocketship to get 30% off today.
You've heard me rave about CodeShip before. It's because they're an incredible team building an amazing product that makes my days happier and my code more reliable. Recently, they shipped an incredible new feature. It's called Parallel CI, and it allows for faster testing than ever before. Early access customers like Product Hunt have improved their development speed tremendously. If you haven't yet, tell your dev team to start a free trial. They have a super generous free plan, and they also offer 20% off 3 months to all Rocketship listeners. Sign up at codeship.com/Rocketship. So thanks for coming on, Maciej. Tell us a bit about PWeek.
Hi, nice to meet you guys. Thank you for inviting me. So PWeek is an open source analytics platform available for free. And we as a company behind PWeek, we offer two products, PWeek Cloud and PWeek Enterprise. For different, two different customer groups.
And when did you start PWeek?
So PWeek project was started in 2007 by Matthew Aubrey. I was one of the first people who joined the project just after the first release. At that time, I was having my own startup that was an advertising network here in Poland. And I was looking for a solution to track statistics, and I didn't want it to start from scratch, and PWeek was just, the first release of PWeek was just published, and I thought, like, this is a good start. And yeah, I started improving the product and adjusting it for our use, at the same time contributing a lot to the performance and some of additional features. And that's how I started with PWeek. The journey has right now, that this is around 2008. We are five years later, and we are running business based on what we have worked during these first early days.
So tell me about that transition you made taking an open source project and putting a business model behind it.
So this was done relatively late, because this was done around 2 years ago. So project had already like 5 years being developed as an open source by just a couple of guys who spent some time after hours on it. But we started to receive, it got a lot of traction. We had, in 2011, we had already 100,000 active users of the software. And we started to receive consulting requests from various businesses. First, it was small businesses. But at some point when we started to get the inquiries for consulting from corporate and corporate clients, government clients, we thought that we need to do something about it. And instead of acting as individual consultants, create a company and offer some products beyond the consulting part, which does not really scale.
So at that point, did you start to build out a sales team and the different components to sell this product?
So we didn't start with the sales team, because we were already having a steady flow of inquiries. So we first had to figure out what kind of products we offer. It was obvious for us that we should offer a cloud product, which is a hosted version of PWeek. But we saw at the same time that the large customers and customers from particular countries, especially here in Europe, in Germany, where there are strong privacy regulations, they choose PWeek because they can host it on their infrastructure and they can collect sensitive data in it and they have full control over the data. So we knew from the beginning that the software as a service model won't really work for this particular types of clients. And what we found out, we started doing some experimenting based on the consulting requests we received for offering support packages. And I think within a year, we figured out how it should be offered and how it should be priced. It was trial and error. And this is the effect of that is PWeek for Enterprise, or PWeek Enterprise product that we currently offer.
So was that the plan the whole time, was to offer you know, enterprise support, or were you guys passionate about open source software and then this opportunity kind of arose? Can you talk us through how you guys came to that decision?
This decision wasn't planned in the beginning. So the vision and the mission of PeeWeeK started really in the open source world and between developers who wanted to provide an alternative to Google Analytics, where it was, you know, it was still beginning of Google Analytics, really, in 2007. So then Urchin was acquired and phased out, and we thought that we really need to make a good software that is an alternative to growing dominance of Google Analytics. And there wasn't any like business model behind it when we were developing the software for the first few years.
So how were you guys paying like your rent then when you're working on this very large open source software project?
Yeah, so in the first years, it was fully driven by work after hours. There was a particular period of time where Matthew could focus full-time on the project because the company that hired him gave him around 9 or 12 months, almost free time to just work and develop open source product, which was great. We made a lot of progress during that time.
And they didn't own any of the software that he built during that time?
So he worked for OpenX at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. It was still early days. It was 2008. It's not where OpenX is today.
Yeah.
But it was one of our, you know, sponsors. I mean, he wasn't a sponsor of the in context of money, but he led Matt to focus like 80% of his time on this project. And then after 2-3 years, when the project was already could be used by companies, we had a couple of companies sponsoring a developer's work for a month or 2 months of particular features. But this was about it. And we tried to do some donations, but this wasn't really sustainable. It helped us to maybe finance some of the features and pay people to develop, for example, open source maps to show the statistics for geolocation, or to pay for particular projects. We had sponsors that gave us servers. But there wasn't any money for us, so we just dedicated our time. And when the consulting services came in, some of us worked also on consulting projects for PeeWeeK. But it wasn't until 2013 when we found a company and we started doing business as a company.
So how did you include the community in that company? You know, this community that dedicated their time to building it up. Were all of them still involved, or were there people that kind of came and went as the project went on?
Yeah, there were most of the people came and went. Some of the people who were involved at later stages become employees, but there wasn't really too many of them that contributed for more than a couple of months. So it was one of the challenges that we during the development of the product, we didn't really have community contributors that contributed for over the years. They really came and went. There are a couple that contributed a lot to the platform, but they no longer are interested in the project, or they had their careers had changed, and they are of course listed as contributors and will be there forever. But they weren't included in creating the company because they decided to take the other way.
So it kind of sounds like whoever was working at the time when the company was created were the ones that became the core foundation of the company.
Yeah, that's more or less true. Some of these people really worked for more than a year. It wasn't like just a set of random people. Some of these people were already kind of employees because we paid them from donations. They weren't officially employed. They just became after the company.
Right. So how do you guys, you're giving away this software for free. How do you do the sales process on it? How do you know who to contact, if at all? What does that look like for you guys?
So we are very lucky because Peewee got so much traction. Up until point, most of our leads came organically through our community website. So we have a community website, peewee.org, and we have the business site with business offer, peewee.pro. And there are a lot of references, of course, on the community website if you want to get professional services, support, or cloud hosting, you're redirected to Peewee Pro. And that's really how we get leads at the moment. We are in the process of rolling out some more active lead capturing tactics and also start using marketing automation tools. But so far during this first 2 years, we were able to maintain really good growth just on the organic leads that we get through the community. And that also proves like how late we started doing sales and products, because the website was already up for 5 or 6 years before the business was founded. So it got a lot of content. It got a huge community around it. And it was very easy to start a business without raising any investment.
So you have all these inbound leads coming in, which is a great position to be in. How do you guys keep it straight internally? And how do you move people through the process once you contact them the first time?
Sure. So first of all, when we have two products. So cloud is really self-service. So you sign up for a trial. And you, we start a drip campaign with education as well as some other, we send some other emails to, encourage you to, contact us for help if you need help, to add website, add tracking code to the website, as well as to subscribe to our service, finally after trial is over. It's getting more interesting on the enterprise side because we capture only the contact information and the inquiry. And the first step in the process is scheduling a call with the customer. Even though they sometimes want to just have a pricing sheet, but we know that to make successful sales, we really need to speak with them to learn more about their needs and see which product might be the fit for them and sell them for Peewee rather than sending out product sheets. So we try not to give away our pricing until we schedule a first call with the customer, sometimes second call with the customer. So on the first call, we explore their requirements, and it can be performed by a non-technical person. So that's where our sales team come in. After this call is success, after we collect this information about the use, the requirements the customer have, we schedule a demo, which is a second step. And usually someone from technical team, implementation team attends this call to address any technical questions and any implementation integration questions, because it's in the case of Peewee compared to other analytics platform, it works a bit differently because we need to actually set up infrastructure for Peewee for the customer, usually on their infrastructure in their data center. So there is a lot of back and forth. How are we going to access the server, or if we are going to access the servers as at all, if we are going to prepare virtual images for the servers, etc. So on the second, this technical call, we want to make sure that we can address any technical questions and have a better idea of how the implementation will be done. And from there, we send an offer, a quote, if there is additional, for example, custom development needed to customize the platform. And then it depends on how things go. Usually it's a series of follow-ups and sometimes additional calls to close the sale. Usually it takes anywhere from 1-2 months up to even 6-9 months in case of corporate clients.
So what kind of clients are typically interested in the solution? Are they interested in open source software in general? Are they interested in like the security side and not using something like Google? What's their kind of MO for hiring you?
So there are a couple of things what they are looking for. So first of all, they don't, for some reason, there is usually a reason why they don't want to send the data to third parties. So they want to keep the data on their servers. It can be because of they collect PII information. It can be because they are, I don't know, payment processor or bank or government, that they want to keep the data on their infrastructure. Or it can be compliance reason. For example, in Europe, there are various laws in EU countries where it prohibits to send the data outside of European Union. So this is the first reason. The second is that in many cases, they want to integrate the raw data. So in PWIC, you can not only see the report similar to Google Analytics or Adobe Omniture, but you can also access the raw data very easily through API or directly to querying the SQL. And they can take this data and import it into their data warehouse, connect with other data such as CRM data or other data sources where they collect data about customers and perform their analysis. Third thing is that in some cases, they simply want to measure internal applications. So, for example, it can be an application that is installed on interactive screens within a ship or a plane, and you want to try to analyze the behavior of users and the usage of these applications, and you have no way to send the data to servers because there is no connection, there may not be a connection temporarily. So that's a kind of third case. And the last one is that they want something custom. So they want to customize the product, and either by themselves or usually they ask us for developing plugins that will add additional capabilities that are very specific to the data or to the aim that they want to achieve with PWIC.
So what percentage of your kind of, I guess, users would you say are free versus this kind of enterprise and paying segment?
It cannot be fully assessed.
Okay.
Because if you can download the software and instead of placing a JavaScript on your site, you can just analyze your log files and we'll never have an idea that you use PWIC.
I see.
Yep. But for the sites that that users install JavaScript, we know that there is more than 1 million websites worldwide that use PWIC. Mm-hmm. It does not mean also that this is number of customers, because we have clients that on single PWIC instance, they track 15,000 websites. On the other end, we have the data about upgrades of PWIC. So once you download an upgrade of the platform, in many cases, we have this data on our servers. So we know that you downloaded the upgrade.
Okay.
And this shows around 300,000 users. So that's pretty a lot. But again, it may not directly translate to number of active PWIC instances.
Okay.
enterprise customers are big projects, and usually we have a lot of work with that. So there are, let's say, close to 50, under 50 or close to 50 of them currently. But usually these are really big accounts for us, okay. Ranging from Hewlett-Packard or Accenture. We have a three international banks that I cannot disclose, as well as we have three very big telecom companies that I cannot also disclose the names. But it will give you an idea of size of these customers, and they have usually some custom needs, and we need to dedicate quite a lot of time for them.
Yeah,
and that's at enterprise is our main revenue stream. Although in number of customers, this is very small number compared to cloud, for example, which have a couple hundreds of customers.
Okay.
But there are small customers, self-service, small revenue stream. The cloud starts from $60 a month. So it's a different segment for us.
Do you think if you guys had started again and were focused on kind of the sales, that it you could have done it faster than 5 or 6 years? Or do you think 5 or 6 years is really what it takes to build up the traffic that a business solution like this needs, where you're offering it for free to so many people to find those enterprise customers? And I know that's not why you guys did it, but looking at it from the business perspective.
I think from the business perspective, from the sales perspective, we would be able to do it much, much faster. But I'm not sure if we would be able to have that major product that would be suitable for these clients. So, of course, if we started from scratch and if we could hire X developers full-time working on the platform, we would move faster, we'll move much faster than we moved in the early days when there was no one full-time or one guy full-time. But there was a lot of work put into the product to make it suitable for this size of customers. And I think that would be limiting us in the first place, not the sales. Because when we had a great open source product, the sales came just easily. I mean, it wasn't easy because initially we couldn't figure out what should be our enterprise offer. And we thought this would be like turning on the switch, because we were so confident. We received so many of these consulting requests that now we found a company, turn on the switch, and the revenue will come. It wasn't that easy. It was a huge amount of work to get to where we are today and to actually start selling this product successfully. But this still was probably close to 2 years, 1.5 years working on the product and on our offer to get it right and to make our sales process successful.
Yeah. So the other thing that I'm always curious about in open source, like I've worked on teams where even two developers can't work on the same code base. How do you, when people are coming in and out of the code base, keep everything consistent so you can keep growing on top of it and you don't have this large technical debt that you're amassing as you move forward?
It's challenging, but we use GitHub and GitFlow to make sure that all major contributions go in pull requests. That's just from organizational perspective. And we spend a lot, I think, when we 2 or 3 years ago, we literally covered most of the PWIC with automated tests, and we keep it going forward to just add new tests. And this test starts with unit tests, through integration tests, and we have even our own framework for screenshot tests to just compare if interface didn't break after the change, so that we compare the screenshot and we show a diff if there is some difference. So there's a huge amount of work put into the test, but that's also not enough. So for example, for last 3 months, we freeze the product and worked only on maintenance and refactoring tasks just to get the platform better. And now we can continue with adding features. So there are periods of time that where we decide simply not to do too much new features rather than work on performance, work on refactoring to make sure that the code base is really great. And I also saw a lot of open source projects that have like a few years or even close to 9-10 years and their code base is really a mess. Mm-hmm. And if we hadn't made such a decision to refactor and go with newest standards, like for example, our platform is PHP, so we introduced this last year. We introduced namespaces, and we did also a round of refactoring over the summer. So if we didn't do these things, probably we would have a lot of problems today. But because we have really strong technical engineering team, they sometimes just let sales and like product team to just stop for a bit to make sure that we keep the quality. And also on the security side, because that's also, I think, very important aspect of such platform, we run external security audits once a year.
Okay.
As well as we have bug bounty programs. So anyone that finds a critical security bug in the platform receives a bounty from us, and that helped us over the years to eliminate some of the security issues in the platform. And I think this program has 3 or 4 years already, and we were able to catch a lot of stuff and make sure the platform complies with the highest standards.
Sure, sure. I mean, you need to when you're doing enterprise, yeah. So where do we keep up with you and PWIC online?
So first of all, on Twitter, PWIC and PWIC Pro handle. My handle is Zavajinsky, but I'm not sure if you...
We'll link to it. Yeah.
As well as on our website, if you want to stay up to date what's with PWIC, you can sign up for our newsletter on pwic.org. Or simply follow us on Twitter.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And make sure to check out our app discount section, where we feature discounts from amazing companies like Treehouse, Wistia, Woo Themes, all giving you exclusive discounts for being a Rocketship listener. So go to rocketship.fm/essentials.